Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part three of a four-part series entitled Prepare, and today's specific message is entitled Prepare for Resistance, based off of Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 21. So, let us dive into the Word today. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, "Since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die." Amen. I remember when I first decided to answer the call to ministry back in 2004. I had lost my job and was a stay-at-home dad. I've talked about this before. And so I had done a bit of soul searching and found my way back to the call that Christ put on my life as a child, as a young child. Now, my wife, parents, and immediate family supported me in this. However, as soon as I announced my intentions to pursue my call in ministry, the naysayers and others came out of the woodwork. I heard comments like, "Do you want to be poor the rest of your life? Pastors don't make a ton of money, and you need to support your family." And I remember thinking to myself when I heard that, I was like, pretty sure I'm not going into ministry for the money, but for God. But they didn't get that. I heard comments about how I should have stayed an iron worker. I had heard comments about how long it would take and how much money I would have to spend to get my Master of Divinity. Every aspect of going into ministry was questioned and resisted by certain people. Worse than all of that, though, there were friends who stopped being friends with me because I was one of those crazy religious freaks. They didn't understand why I'd had this transformation, why I was a Christian, let alone looking to be a pastor. So while I had resistance from family and others who questioned why I was doing this, eventually they supported it, or at least for the most part, most of them did. But then I also had friends that stopped being friends with me because of my conversion back to Christianity. Beyond answering my call, I can recall resistance in ministry as well. Some people resisted the open mic ministry I wanted to start up. People said it would never work. They said it wouldn't come to. They wouldn't come to it because they don't like loud music, and on and on. Some people didn't say anything at all, but resisted by opting to not come out and support it. And I remember one night we had 80 kids show up, and I was the only adult there. Once we had 80 kids, and I was able to go to the leaders and say, "Look, if you want this ministry to continue, we had 80 kids here. 80 kids is a big deal. You want this ministry to continue, it needs to be supported." And And then eventually it did. It got supported. But I remember initially when I wanted to start that, there was resistance against it. And pretty much anything, when you want to start something new, you're going to find people who resist it. Yet in all the resistance I have faced over the years, God has blessed my ministry, and I have been able to minister to people of all ages, genders, creeds, colors, abilities, and sexual identities. Praise God. But I have, you know, I have had resistance on certain things. I can actually recall somebody trying to say I was sent a DVD around of a music video I made before I even came back to Christianity that was kind of a darker song, and they sent it around saying, you know, here's the youth pastor Todd who worships Satan, and they sent it to my pastor, they sent it to one of the leaders of my church. They had no return address. I still to this day have no clue who sent that. But there was somebody who was resisting the ministry because I was doing things differently than it had been done before, and they feared that. And they thought I was leading people astray. Of course, I was not leading them astray, or at least I hope I wasn't leading them astray. But you know, there's been resistance at all turns in my life. Some more serious, some you know, more surface. But we've all experienced resistance, haven't we? In our families, in our friendships, in our careers, resistance is a part of life. As was said in last week's message, people often resist change and new ideas because they are unknown, uncertain, and unfamiliar. We love familiar because it feels safe. Familiarity equals comfort, and comfort gives us a sense of peace. We can think of comfort like a pot of lukewarm water heating up on a stove with a frog in it. The lukewarm water is comfortable and familiar to the frog, but as the water gradually heats up, the frog acclimates to it. It continues to feel comfortable and safe, even though it's actually in an extreme amount of danger. But eventually, as the water begins to boil, the frog is cooked to death. It could have hopped out at any given moment, but it chose to stay in there because it felt good and comfortable. Just like it was for the frog, comfort and complacency, my friends, equals a slow and prolonged death for the church. In our scripture today, we see a confrontation between Paul and Peter. When Peter first came to Antioch, he was eating with the Gentiles and spending time with them. Peter, in fact, was doing what Paul discussed last week, in that he was finding common ground with everyone and treating people equally. But when James's friends came up, Peter refused to eat with the Gentiles. Why? Because Jesus' brother James and his friends were resisting Paul's efforts to include uncircumcised pork-eating Gentiles in the church. James felt that they had to be Jewish first. Not only felt it, but insisted that they had to be Jewish first, meaning that they had to be circumcised and eat kosher foods and follow the laws of Abraham and Moses and enter into a covenant with God by being Jewish, and then they could become a follower of Jesus. James insisted you could not be a follower of Jesus unless you were first Jewish. So they resisted what Paul was doing, and Peter was afraid of the conflict. He was afraid of what they might say and how they might criticize him. He was afraid of the resistance and the pushback he would get if he sided with Paul. So in front of James's friends, Paul publicly called Peter out on his hypocrisy. Paul was determined to carry out God's will in bringing the gospel to the Gentiles and including them in the church. Resistance was not going to stop him. Just as you need to prepare for change, and just as you need to prepare to be relevant, you also need to prepare for resistance. If you're going to do the work of Jesus Christ, then you can guarantee that there will be resistance. That's just a guarantee. If you're doing the work of Christ, you can guarantee that there will be resistance. Resistance from society, resistance from friends and family members, and even resistance from people in the church. The devil's modus operandi is division, my friends. He loves to divide and conquer. And what's more, division diverts people away. Diversion diverts people's attention away from what God is doing. You need to avoid those who sow seeds of division in the church or otherwise. Here's what we all need to remember. Write it down if you're in a place where you can do that. No amount of resistance can stop God's will. No amount of resistance can stop God's will. Therefore, we should not allow resistance to keep us from doing God's will. Amen? Remember, we are either with God or we are working against God. We either stand with and serve Jesus Christ, our Lord, or we stand against him serving the world. There is no in-between there. There is no lukewarm position. Remember, Jesus said, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you are neither and you are like lukewarm water, I want to spit you. I want to vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus makes it clear there's no in-between position here. You're either with me or you're not with me. Christ is calling us to be his church, to embrace the change he is bringing and to prepare for resistance. Not only is it coming, my friends, not only is it coming, but it is already at hand. However, as the Apostle Paul poignantly wrote in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 31, if God is with us, who can ever be against us? If God is with us, who can ever be against us? The answer to that question, of course, is no one. No one can stand against us if God is with us. So let us be a people who prepare to change, who prepare to be relevant by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and who prepare for resistance. Remember, if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this challenging message. Lord, each and every one of us face resistance when we try new things, and certainly being a follower of yours, we are going to come up against resistance. But we shouldn't cower like Peter did and just kowtow to people who might be opposed to what we are doing. For Lord, if you are calling us to do something, it is our duty and our honor to serve you and do what you have asked us to do. If you are with us, Lord, no one can stand against us, even if they try. They will not succeed, for you are God, and you are Lord above all lords and King above all other kings. Lord, your will is our will. Make it so that we may serve you faithfully and boldly in this world. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, I'd like to thank you for joining me for this message. Again, this is part three of a four-part series entitled Prepare, and this message was specifically entitled Prepare for Resistance. I'd like to invite you to check out the episode notes. There you will find links to the Life-Giving Water Swag Store, where you can buy nifty things that support this podcast. You can also support this podcast by going on to the platform you listen to it on and rating us. Give us a good rating and a good review, and that helps to bump us up in the listing. This is particularly true for Apple podcasts, but for sure, it helps us whether you're listening on Google Play Music or Spotify or some other platform. I want to thank you for tuning in, and I want to remind you, my friends, that you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.